Well, we've been seeking the Lord this week for a few words to share with us this morning. And I feel like the Lord's given me a little extension of last week's message. Last week we spoke of building and how that we want to build a structure before God that will stand the test of time and will be something we can enjoy living in. And we're thinking this morning about our walk with the Lord, and we're thinking about our life and our character and the things that we put into that. And so we want to start this morning in 1 Corinthians 3, ask the Lord to bless and help us this morning. 3 and 10, we want to start where we started last week. And Paul's writing here, he says, according to the grace of God, it's 1 Corinthians 3 and 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. You know, Paul told them of Christ, and we have heard that message as well. And if we've gotten saved, and we have given our heart to God, and repented of our sins, and changed the direction of our life, you know, the Lord has given us that foundation of His grace and His forgiveness and life in God, in the Lord. He's given that to us for a foundation in life. But you know, we cannot just stop there. To be saved and have the grace of God in our heart is just the start of so many good things that the Lord wants us to have in our life this morning. And so Paul goes on to say, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A lot of people turn their life around in some sort and try to do better. That's not building on that foundation of Jesus Christ. The foundation of Jesus Christ is when we repent of our sins and we believe through the blood of Jesus that He justifies us before God and forgives us and doesn't count it against us anymore. And so we go on to read, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But the first verse where we started, it says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That's what I want to talk about this morning. The Lord would like for our lives to be built in such a way that we can make heaven our home. The Lord doesn't want us to go along and begin building and then find out later that we don't have sufficient to finish. And that maybe we built with the kind of materials in our life that after 20 or 30 years, everything starts falling apart. People's lives do that just like houses do that. And so this morning, the Lord wants us to build on this foundation of Christ some things in our life. And I want to challenge all of us, especially the young this morning, because you are the ones that are beginning to build. You know, you're going to have to live in that building. You're going to have to live with the character that you build into your life and with the walk with the Lord that you build. That's what you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. If it is just built upon our own desires, upon our own thoughts of what's right and wrong, upon our own ways, I believe we're going to get in trouble before it's over with. I don't believe that's going to stand the test of time when it comes clear to the end of the way, especially. So this morning, I just want us to think about building. It matters how we build. It matters that we build just like the Lord told us to. And so I want to look at a man that built just like God told him to. And we're all familiar with the story of Noah. And I'm just going to read a few verses out of that. But in Genesis 6, and 14, the Lord left us an account of what happened at the time of the flood. Genesis 6 and 14, the Lord told Noah, he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Excuse me. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And the Lord gave Noah some very specific things to do. He told him exactly how long he wanted the ark to be. He told him how wide. He told him how tall. He told him, I want you to pitch it within and without. Noah didn't know all the rest of the story. He didn't know he was going to live in this ark a full year. This is where he was going to spend the next year, on the water a lot of that time. And you know, the Lord saw that. He knew the storm that was coming soon. As soon as Noah built the ark, the Lord told him to go in, and he shut the doors of the ark. And you know, Noah at that point could not have changed anything in the ark. He could not have started building at that point and said, hold on, Lord, I didn't build it. I didn't build it just like you said, and I didn't realize that we were going to live here a year. And I didn't realize the Lord told Noah exactly how to build the ark. You know, this morning, the Lord has been pretty plain with us. He really has. He's left us a lot of things in life that he has told us. Now, why did the Lord have Noah do all that work? That was a lot of work. It was a lot of ridicule and scorn. He was building that ark in the midst of a people that did not believe. He was building the ark, and I can imagine the laughs and scorns. I mean, it wasn't in his house. It wasn't where he could hide it. This ark was huge, and it was out in the middle of everybody. And he bore the scorn of the day. But he built just like God told him to. And then the storm came, and everybody was destroyed, except Noah and his family. You know, this morning, the Lord wants our life to be preserved. He wants our soul to be preserved. He wants us to be able to make it to heaven. And he's left us some things to help us get there. And so this morning, it matters how we build. It matters what kind of character that we put in our life. It matters whether we put God first in all the things of life. You know, if we begin to build, and God has told us to put him first. He said, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself. And he's got to forsake all that he has and come after me. And then he can be a follower of mine. And you know, if we only forsake half of it and we only build our ark halfway, we don't know the storms that are coming, but the Lord does. And so he's told us some things. And if we'll build our life in that manner, when the storms come, I believe that it will be a safe haven for us. That thing that God has told us to build into our lives this morning. Will our life survive the storms that God knows is coming our way? God knew right behind that ark was coming a tremendous storm. It was going to last 40 days and 40 nights. It was going to rain. And he knew that. The fountains were going to be broke up. And then it was going to have water upon the earth for many months. And the Lord knew that. You know, this morning, let's take heed to our life. How are we building this morning? Can we really say, I'm building just like God said to build? With all my heart and all that I know, I'm trying to do God's will. I'm seeking His face. I'm spending time with Him. I believe I know the Lord. You know, can we say that in our life? That's what's going to take us through. That's what's going to take us through the tests of life. When it comes to the end of life and we're judged before the Lord, you know, He's going to be looking for that blood that's applied. But you know, it's going to take something for us to get from here to there. And so I'm going to liken that this morning to an ark. We're building something into our life. We're building something that's going to affect our family. How are we building this morning? Are we building just like the Lord said? Our Christian walk and our character, that's what we want to focus on a little bit. We feel like the Lord's given us that. In Mark 14, I want to just speak of a few specific things. And I know there's lots and lots of things. I don't know, maybe another Sunday the Lord will have us continue. I don't know. But I want to share a little bit about discipline this morning. Just, there's three things that I feel like the Lord gave me. And I want to challenge us to put these things into our life. Without building our life in these ways, we're going to suffer loss. Mark 14 and 37, we're real familiar, all of us are, with this little passage. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, and it says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew the storm that was coming. He told Peter, but Peter didn't perceive it. He didn't understand it, and he didn't think it was going to be so, hardly. He didn't. But it says here, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You know, this morning, is there anything wrong with sleeping when you're sleepy? It's a good thing God made it so. But when God tells us, and we know He tells us, the Lord told Peter, now's not the time to sleep. Discipline yourself, Peter. Slap yourself on the face if you have to. But right now, I want you to pray. Right now, I want you to, now's not the time to sleep, Peter. You know, a little discipline could have helped him here. I don't know what the outcome would have been had Peter really followed the Lord. But you know, this morning, how's our life when it comes to discipline? Do we take time every day and seek the face of the Lord? Do we take time every day? I would say we must do that. We must take time for the Lord. We've got to take time out of things that are important for something that is more important. The things of the Lord, if we see them for what they are, okay, God wants us to make it. He wants us to be able to float on that water, the same water that drowned everybody else. The Lord wants us to float on top of it. But you know what? He tells us something. Build your boat with discipline. Build it in a way that when the waves come, they're not going to overwhelm us. I was thinking one time, I told Brother Stanley, I can't remember the exact incident, but you know, sometimes the world, I think we have an advantage in some ways because we've learned to discipline our lives. And so when hard things come, that pays off. It's worth something. But if we haven't disciplined our lives, if we don't constantly, I know somebody may miss sometime, but I'll tell you, if our discipline in the things of God is gone slack, and we aren't careful to worship the Lord and have a real relationship with Him and tarry a while. Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I want to know Your thoughts. I want to know Your mind. I want Your will to be done in my life. My mind will lead me astray, and I know that. My humanity will lead me astray. Lord, I want Your thoughts. I want Your mind. You know what? If we don't discipline ourselves, I will tell you what will happen. The flood of the world will take away all of our time. We'll be too tired at night and too rushed in the morning. And everything between will be taken care of, all of those things that we're after in life. And the Lord wants us to make some priorities. Discipline ourselves. I want to know God in my life. Noah was a man that found favor with God. His heart was perfect toward the Lord. And when the Lord gave him something to do, he built it just like the Lord said. You know, this morning, how are we doing? And how are we doing in our relationship? Are we disciplined about it? Are we sleeping when we should be praying? And I know there's a time to sleep. There's a time for everything. But the Lord told Peter, "Wake up, Peter." In other words, this isn't the time to sleep. You don't know what's ahead, but I do. And I'm telling you, you need to be praying and watching. You know, I was thinking about all the wants that we have in our life. The Lord made us to have to eat every day, several times. I like to eat. I suppose probably a lot of you all like to eat too. Well, you know what? That's a good thing. As long as it's in the right control and context. The Lord wants us to work. He's told us to work. Work with your hands. Do those things that God has given to do. But do it in the proper discipline. Don't let it become too big in our life. The Lord has given us a lot of good things. Sleeping, satisfying all of our wants. You know, the Lord He don't promise to satisfy all of our wants. He promises to satisfy our needs, and He teaches us to be content with when those are satisfied. That's the blessing of the Lord. You know what that does then when the flood comes and we don't have what we want and we can't have what we want? If we've been exercising ourselves to godliness, it's going to be a lot easier for us to just float on that water and go on through. But if we always have to have all that we want, all that we desire, we have to have all. You know, that's going to be a hindrance to us. It's going to be a problem to us later on. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, listen to what he says about, this is 9 and 27. He said, "But I keep under my body." You know what he's saying here? "And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul was, if you read up above there, he speaks of, he said, "Know ye not," in verse 24, "that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." Discipline yourself, in other words. "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run." I run like that. "Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." You know, Paul said, "I'm not just in this thing. I'm not just beating the air. I'm not just trying to punch around. I want to make them count. I want to make my life count." And Paul says here, "I'm running. I'm preparing myself. I'm disciplining myself. I keep under my body. I make sure it's in subjection to the Lord and not to the body's desires and things." We live in a world that believes that if you just satisfy whatever you want, that's not the Lord's way. And it doesn't satisfy the needs that we have down inside. But I will tell you, if we'll bring it under and submit it to the Lord, I believe what we will find will surpass our furthest expectations most of the time. Unless we have some outlandish expectations, I will tell you, it has surpassed mine a long ways. The Lord wants to surpass in our lives our expectations. He wants to give us blessings that we didn't really know were to be had in this life. We thank the Lord for that. I believe when God told Noah to build the ark, I think he knew exactly what was needed for that to be successful. I think he knows exactly what we need to be successful. I think he knows exactly what we need to be able to make it in the long haul, all the way to the end and into eternity. And so he's given us some things to put into our life. Take heed how you build. Take heed that we put into our life these good things. I wanted to think the second thing that I felt like the Lord gave me was obedience. That maybe sounds kind of elementary, but it's not easily done. In 1 Peter 1 and 14, listen to what Peter tells us here. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means our life. That's not just our words. And he says here, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be obedient to the Lord in our dealings, in our doings. Make sure they're upright. Make sure they're built like the pattern that we have before us, which is the Lord. The scripture in Isaiah says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, a lot of us here have had children. Have you ever had to chasten your children? Have you ever had to give one of them some good correction that they needed? I have. I had a few switchings when I was young. And I'm thankful for them. But you know, we don't have to be under chastisement continually. Sometimes children are more obedient than other children. And the scripture here says, as obedient children. You know, we've had five children. Some of them were just more easily corrected. And the ones that weren't were like, how come I get in trouble more? how come I get more spankings? Well, you know, this morning, we don't have to be in trouble all the time with the Lord. The scripture tells us that the Lord chastens us, and it's for our benefit. But you know, if we're real obedient to the Lord, we don't have to be chastened all the time. The Lord doesn't want to have to chasten us. It's many times our own not following Him like we should. Then we find ourselves in trouble, and we're thinking, oh no, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I should have followed Him more closely. I know I shouldn't have took my own thoughts on that. But, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to be chastened all the time. He wants us to build into our lives a very keen ear to the Lord. And when the Lord speaks to us, He wants us to be obedient. He wants us, when we hear Him, I've been trying the last number of years, when the Lord speaks, I want to just do exactly right then what He wants me to do. You know, I believe, and I know people can maybe get under a crush or something, but you know, when you realize the value, the Lord knows what He's doing. And if we know it's Him, and it's not something driving us that's not the Lord, if we know it's the Lord, and He's speaking to us, we will do ourselves a favor to be quick to just follow Him, right? Lord, this is what you want? Okay, I'll change my pattern. I'll change what I'm doing because I want to do it just like you want it to be done. I believe you're helping me to build my life in such a way that'll be worth something. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I'm going to take a little bit of time here in 1 Kings 13 and read a story that most of us know, 1 Kings 13 and 1. I'm just going to read part of it. Now these things are written, the word says, for our admonition. And they're written so that we'll get a glimpse of it ourselves. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. What does that mean by the word of the Lord? The Lord spoke to this man, and this man knew it. And he got up and left, and he was following directions from the Lord. It wasn't something, some figment he had in his mind that he was thinking that was his own mind. This man knew that God spoke to him. And it says here, he came out of Judah by the word of the Lord into Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar. This man of God did. He cried against this false God's altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes, that means it's gonna fall apart, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. He was angry with this prophet coming and telling the altar and crying against the altar like that. Then the altar falls apart. It looks like he would have immediately been humbled by that. But no, the altar also was rent and the ashes poured out from the altar. Maybe that was following this here. And according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also their father. Now this was quite a thing that had happened. The Lord spoke to this prophet. He goes down there, and the Lord did exactly what he said he was going to do. And then he also had told him, now don't go back the same way you came, and don't eat or drink anything along the way. And in verse 14, now this prophet came, and so the sons, they went after the man of God and found him, or I guess that was the prophet himself, and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. You know, this man of God knew exactly what God told him. And it seems to me this was a hard situation, because this other man says, well, an angel came and told me something else. But the Lord never told him. Balaam got in the same trouble. He jumped up and the Lord said, if they call you, you can go with him. And Balaam wanted to go. He wanted to go real bad. So he jumped up and went with them. And they hadn't called him. You know, obedience is something that this man did so much right. He did a lot of what God told him to do. But he wasn't really obedient completely. Because God told him, don't you go eat or drink in that place, and don't go back the way you came. Well, this man convinced him to go with him. So he went with him, verse 19. He went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. Now this was the same man that lied to him to tell him to get out of the way that he was supposed to be going in. Have you ever seen that done? I remember one time a man, I heard this, I saw this happen, and this man gave advice to someone else. And after they did it, I believe it was after they did it, then he was like, well, they should have known better. Or he was, I can't remember his exact words, but I was amazed. I was standing there thinking, you're the one that told him. And now he got in trouble for it. I believe he was in trouble with the Lord. I can't remember how the situation. I just remember so clearly that he had given him advice. And now he was, well, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, this morning, if we're obedient to the Lord, and we know what God has given us, we need to stand on that. If we know it's the voice of the Lord. Now, it's one thing if we're not sure what's going on and we're confused. The devil works in confusion. But God works in light. He works in clearness and plainness. He knows our language. This man knew exactly what God told him. Nobody, it wasn't confusing to him. He knew what God had said. And so obedience, I believe, would have saved his own life had he obeyed. In verse 24, and when he was gone back, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by it and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. They saw this man was slain by what he did. The Lord, a lion came out. The Lord commanded judgment on him. You know, had he obeyed what he knew God had told him. I just want to encourage us today. It is easy in today's world. There is so many ideas, so many things floating around. The Lord wants us to know some things about his will. He wants to talk our language. He does that as we discipline ourselves and we draw up close to him. He'll begin to tell us his will in plain language where we can understand it. And you know, then the Lord wants us to follow him and not be drawn aside by anything or anybody. A couple of more verses along this line. I'm just going to quote this one in Proverbs 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's very easy for us in our own eyes to be wise, to decide this is what I just figured out. But something down here says, that's not what the Lord revealed to me. That's not what He told me. You know, the Lord wants us to know some things in our heart, and He wants us to be obedient to those things that we know God has told us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better than going out on the mission field and giving our life. The Lord would like for us to be obedient to His word. There's a lot of blessings to being obedient. Listen to this in Exodus 19 and 5. There's many scriptures like this in the Bible, and they're very encouraging. Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You know, the Lord wants us to know, you're a treasure to me. You're going to be a very special treasure to me if you'll obey all my voice. It's not rocket science. It's doing what we know is to be done in the things of the Lord. It's not something we can't figure out. God knows our language. He knows the language of our heart. He knows the language of our mind. He wants to reveal Himself to people. We begin when we begin building on that rock. When we give up our ways and we give up the sin of the world, and we're transformed into a babe in Christ. And then He says, now take heed how you build. Build your life in a way that when I speak, that you're instantly obedient. That I don't have to chasten you. Sometimes the Lord has to chasten us. Chasten people. And I will tell you, some of those lessons are hard learned. And you never forget them. But it's so much better if we'll just be obedient. Build that into our character. Build that into our walk with the Lord. Lord, teach me your ways and show me your paths that I might be obedient. I think some people are just by nature are more stubborn than other people. They don't bend easy. They don't take correction well. They don't listen well. It happens. And I believe there's more suffering in those kind of lives. A lot more suffering. A lot more suffering. I want to speak to one third thing, and this won't be so long. But I just thinking about various things that I've been praying, Lord, what do you want me to say? I think one of the other things that the Lord wants us to build into our life. Young people, build your life in a way that 30 years from now, you will be reaping the benefit of putting these kind of character traits into your life. This kind of a walk with the Lord. Isaiah 1 and 17. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. You know the scripture. This is Proverbs 11 and 25. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I would like for all of us to take that into our life. You know, that's something God said. That's a principle of His. He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. What's the liberal soul? What's that mean? That's not talking about liberal in all of our ideas. That's talking about be a giver. Be a giver. There's people all around us that need help. There's people all around us that a little of our time, a little of our help makes a big difference in their life. And Isaiah said here, learn to do well. Learn to be that kind of person. You know, I believe that givers are a lot happier than takers. I believe their happiness level is way up here compared to takers. way down here somewhere. I believe that. I've seen that. I've experienced that. You know, the Lord wants us to build that into our life. Our homes. Build that into our homes. Our children need to pick that up. That our life is one that gives. It gives. It constantly gives to people all around us. Constantly gives to the things the Lord would like for us to be a part of. I don't preach very much on giving. But I want to tell you something. It is a very real part of our life. Give. Give to the Lord. Give to the ways. Give to the poor. Give to the needs of those around us. Give to our family. Give to, just be a giver. It's a blessed life. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That one that gives all the time, is he going to give up? Is he not going to have anything? He's going to have more than anybody. Maybe not more than anybody, but he's going to have because it's a principle of the Lord. I have seen those that have a tight fist with everything. The Lord doesn't give in that way. They might get something. They might even get money. But they don't get what counts in life. But I will tell you, undo our fist. Let our hand go out like this to people. Let it be full of blessings to people all around us. And I will tell you, you will find not only the blessing that comes back from that, but you'll find the blessing of the Lord on that as well. In Galatians 6 and 7, the Lord just gave us a little principle. Now we're talking about building things into our life that count, that matter. Take heed how you build. 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived about it. Don't think one thing when really it's another. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's talking about planting. People that plant, they're going to reap something, usually. That's the way it goes. They plant a bunch of things. They might not reap everything, but they'll reap back a lot more than they sowed. You can put one little seed in and grow a tomato plant. And how many tomatoes do you get back? Way more than you put in. That's the laws of God. That's the way it works. And I encourage all of us in our life, build our life in this way. It matters. We need the blessing of the Lord. We need the blessing of one another to others all around us, to the poor, to those that have special needs. Yes, the Lord wants us to take time out of our real important things, our business, and tend to the needs of others. It's a very, very needy thing. And one or two more scriptures, Luke 6 and 38. I've often been in wonder at this scripture, Luke 6 and 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, that could be a little bit frightening. The same measure that you meet, it's going to be measured back to you. That's what the Lord said. He said here, give and it shall be given unto you. I have watched the liberal soul. I have watched those that opened their hand to the needs of many others and to the Lord. And I have watched the Lord pour in more than they ever put in. Now, I don't believe in a health and wealth gospel, but I believe this is a concept that the Lord put forth. That he said, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, tight, full, a basket running over. That's what's going to come back to you when you're a giver. I believe that. Now, we may not every time get financial blessings back so more than we may not. But I will tell you what, we'll get more blessings than what finances could buy if we don't get finances back. will get things that you couldn't buy if you gave everything you had. If you paid for it, you couldn't buy it. But you give to the Lord with your heart. You be a giver, and it's in the right context, and you're not depleting and neglecting your family. You give in the Lord's will and ways. And I will tell you something. Put that into your life. You want to be blessed? You want to be fat? Have plenty? Fat indicates plenty more than enough. Plenty more than enough. You want plenty more than enough in your life? Be a giver. Don't be a taker. You be a taker, you won't have enough. You'll put it in bags and they'll have holes in it. You'll put it in places and it'll leak out. Even if you get monetarily all kinds, you'll still be poor. That's the way it works in the things of the Lord. One more scripture in Proverbs 19 and 7. Listen to this. The scriptures tell us the way. They tell us the way to build our life in a way that is that will stand the test of time. It says here, 19 and 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto who? The Lord. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I thought we was lending to the poor. They lend to the Lord. And listen what else he says. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. I've found it to be so. I believe in this. Be a giver in your life. Don't be a taker. We're in a world today that believes everything is everything ought to come to everybody. You ought to have. You know what? Be a giver. You ought to give. And the poorest among us has a lot to give if you know the Lord. We have a lot to give, and we ought to be doing it. Instead of thinking about what we don't have, we ought to be giving. The poorest among us is rich, and the Lord has a lot for us to give this morning. Take heed how you build thereupon. Take heed how you build your life. You build your life in a way that's selfish, counter to the scripture, backwards to the scripture, it's going to hinder you in life. You're going to find that when you need the blessing of the Lord, you're going to find there was a hole in my bag. Where is the goods? Where is what I need? Give to the Lord. Open your life. Build your life. Put some of these principles we've been talking about. Discipline ourselves to make sure God is number one in our life. And I will tell you what I believe fully. It will come back to us in more measure, just like a tomato can, you can plant a lot of seeds out of one, and you can reap a lot more. And you reap, and I've heard this, in a different season than you sow. It's going to be life on down the road for most of us, a ways. And we're going to reap in a different season, and we're going to reap more than what we sowed. There's one more. I don't remember what it is. But the Lord wants us to sow and build in a way that our life stands. When the flood comes, we float on the very thing that will stifle others. Amen.